This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Online harassment is unfortunately nothing new to women, especially if they happen to be a female journalist or blogger. The International Women's Media Foundation and the International News Safety Institute say about two-thirds of women journalists have faced threats, intimidation, or abuse about the work they do, and the threat even extends to family or friends a quarter of the time. Michelle Ferrier is the Associate Dean for Innovation, Research, Creative Activity, and Graduate Studies at Ohio University's Scripps College of Communication, Associate Professor of E.W. Scripps School of Journalism, President of Journalism That Matters, and Principal Investigator for the Media Deserts Project, and she founded Trollbusters and joins us to talk about that platform. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Michelle, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Great to be here, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Now, you've been a victim of cyber harassment yourself. What happened with that?
I've been a victim of online harassment and as well as offline harassment. It was the offline harassment that really got me started on this tangent. But the online harassment had to deal with primarily my scholarship and research and people who didn't like the results of that research coming after me professionally and attacking me professionally. Actually, the story of harassment goes back even before we had the social media that we have today. And in fact, those behaviors were behaviors that happened a long time ago as well.
Was there a particular story you wrote that that generated a lot of ill behavior?
No. Back in the past, I was a columnist for a newspaper, and I was the first African-American columnist. And because of my race, received hate mail through the mail for the columns that I wrote. And these were lifestyle columns that primarily talked about raising my kids and my family in a community and talking about our experiences as a family. And so it really didn't matter what I talked about. They just all seemed to irritate people who didn't want to see me writing in the newspaper and have a platform and a voice.
I find that so hard to believe. You know, Michelle, I hear the term a lot, troll. What exactly does it mean to be a troll or to be trolling?
So someone who's a troll is somebody who uses the internet primarily to incite an emotional response from someone. And so trolling behavior can be everything from the kind of cyberbullying we see in K-12 where kids are attacking each other on how they look or their behavior or they're not part of the in crowd, all the way to the kinds of online attacks that Trollbusters deals with, which deals with rape threats and death threats and other different types of ways in which people online and groups of people online are systematically going after and attacking journalists.
And how much does being able to be anonymous, how much does the anonymity fuel this?
The anonymity does play a part in this because, as you know, in social media forums, when you can be anonymous, you don't have to worry about the damage to your own identity or your own reputation. So I do believe that trolls, whether they're women or men, because both can be trolls, and sometimes people who have been victims of trolls can become trolls. So I don't think this is a behavior that's immune from any of us, depending on the issue. But there's some people that particularly look to incite some kind of response from people online, and those are the trolls that we're looking at, or those that are doing the most egregious kinds of trolling behavior, which is basically threatening speech online that either emotionally affects the target or can even economically have damages as well.
Does this ever get to the point where it becomes a safety issue? Can it ever become dangerous? And do people, are they harmed offline by this?
Absolutely. So the online behaviors can be complex depending on the kind of trolling that we're talking about. We're dealing with groups of trolls, so smart mobs, who were using the social media channels to be able to systematically go after and shut down specific voices, journalists women journalists, people of color, other diverse voices that they might not want to see in the media landscape. So they're systematically going after those voices and piling on. So it's not just one person that's going after them, but multiple people continuing to join in the fight, so to speak, and continue to send these messages to people. And it can become very overwhelming. So there's an initial emotional response where people want to throw up their hands and go dark and get off of the computer. On the other hand, for people like journalists and others for whom social media is part of their job, they don't have the option of just going dark. It affects them in their job. It affects them economically. And some people make their living off of the Internet, and they cannot just throw their hands up and say, I'm just not going to be on Facebook today, when that is part of their business strategy.
It sounds like this has had just a dramatic impact on freedom of speech and freedom of the press.
Well, I think it has a chilling effect and a silencing effect, especially on women journalists. The behavior that's online can migrate offline. And so we see behaviors like doxing, where these groups will send out public information, private information about where a journalist or a target might live or where they work, etc. The goal being to have their army meet those folks in physical space and in offline and threaten and intimidate them in that way, and perhaps lead to harm or death in that manner. There also can be attacks in terms of technological attacks on the sites designed to bring down, let's say a woman entrepreneur has a news site designed to bring down that news site so that she cannot do her job or deliver news and information to her community. And so there are some very real effects of the kinds of tactics used by these smart mobs to be able to just consistently and persistently wear their targets down and isolate them, so that there's significant emotional as well as economic damage.
And you were saying in your case, you were just doing lifestyle reporting. Are there certain kinds of stories that that seem to cause this more than others?
It's not a matter of the stories. It's a matter of the person
writing the stories.
And as reporters, you think about it, in the days when I received hate mail, columnists were the only people that had their face in the newspaper, so nobody knew the identity of a reporter. Now with social media and all of our talent, so to speak, whether it's broadcast or journalistic in the press, are required to be online and social media to a certain extent. Stories are opened up for online comments, and frankly, it doesn't make a difference about the topic of the story. Trolls will come out and find a way to attack and inflict more damage.
So how exactly does Trollbusters work?
So Trollbusters is designed to really test initial premise, which was that positive messages could make a difference in the emotional state of the target and help them persist online in the face of the attacks. What the trolls want, and in particular with journalists and journalism targets, is for them to go offline, for them to be quiet, to shut down their voice. And so our first and primary goal is to keep those women publishing, keep them writing, keep their voices strong and alive online so that they can also bring in other diverse voices. So there's kind of a ripple effect to having women's voices, people of color, diverse voices in the news, and then the people that they reach out to for their stories. So our first and primary goal with Trollbusters is to create a hedge of protection using positive messaging around the target. So we operate on Twitter, and when we receive an alert that troll behavior is happening from a bystander or a target, we'll send what we call a warning tweet into the Twitter stream to let both the trolls as well as the target know that we're operating in that stream. And then we send a series of messages, a combination of text and visual messages that can be anything from inspirational quotes from Martin Luther King to LOL cats or something to make you laugh. The idea is to really dilute the sting of the troll messages by drowning it out with positive messages and funny messages that help lessen the emotional damage of the negative comments that might be coming from the trolls.
My apologies, we've run out of time, but thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thanks so much, Mark. I appreciate you talking about Trollbusters.
Michelle Ferrier, Associate Dean for Innovation, Research, Creative Activity, and Graduate Studies at Ohio University's Scripps College of Communication, Associate Professor of E.W. Scripps School of Journalism, President of Journalism That Matters, Principal Investigator for the Media Deserts Project, and Founder of Trollbusters.